Take all I want. Okay, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to discuss that chapter tonight. This whole chapter is about, it's almost like a contrast of prophecy and tongues and that whole deal. This is a really misunderstood chapter. I've heard some what I think are very ignorant things said about this. Namely, that speaking in tongues is a selfish gift. I don't know where they get that. I do know where they get it, but it's sure a misinterpretation. But let me preface this chapter by saying this, that this whole chapter is about everything being done decently and in order. There was a problem in this church. They were coming together, and there was a misuse of spiritual manifestations. They were a whole lot of speaking in tongues going on, and there was a lot of confusion going on in this church. So he wrote this. In chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning the things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant." So he lays that out. Chapter 13 is what we call the love chapter, which is the chapter where he talks about how ought to be the motivation of everything that's done by the Holy Spirit. God is what? Love. Is Jesus love? Is the Holy Spirit love? So everything that the Holy Spirit does is going to be motivated by love. So that whole chapter is about love. And so when he comes into chapter 14, he starts it off by saying, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts or things of the Spirit. Desire the things of the Spirit. What begins to happen in places, and we see this in America today in the body of Christ, you have this group over here who's afraid of this group over here because they've seen some excesses over here. So what they want to do is they want to say, none of that stuff is real and we don't need that and we don't want anything to do with that Holy Spirit. We don't want anything to do with what they call spiritual gifts and tongues and that because that's craziness. Over here, you got this group that's way over here, and you got two extremes. And what we need to find is the happy medium here. And this is what Paul is trying to do in this chapter, is he's trying to bring balance. I heard a guy say on the radio one time, and it's in this chapter, he says, Paul says, forbid not to speak in tongues. And he says, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. And I thought, you know, that's ignorant. If something's in the Bible, we have to consider things that are in the Bible. I want to do a little survey here. How many of you were raised in a church that was Pentecostal? I see your hand. Okay. Pentecostal. Okay. How many of you were raised in a church that was not Pentecostal? Okay. Okay. How many of you were raised in a church that taught you against spiritual gifts? Okay, how many of you were raised in a church that didn't teach you anything about spiritual gifts? And that was me. You know, we didn't know whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. So, you know, we were kind of, so you see the wide variety of stuff that we have here. How many of you have seen excesses? Yeah, we've seen excesses, haven't we? We've seen things that we can't explain, we can't find in the Bible. If you can't find something in the Bible, it's suspect. If you can find something in the Bible, then it must be okay. That's kind of my philosophy. If it's in the Bible, it's biblical. If it's not in the Bible, it's probably not biblical. Okay? So Paul is trying to bring this church, and this is what we call a spirit-filled church. He's trying to bring it into balance. And he says, listen, the whole focus of this thing has to be the pursuing of love. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. He says you need both. We need love, but we don't need to be afraid of spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. See, people say, you see, we don't need that because you can't understand what you're saying. So we don't need that. It doesn't do any good because you can't understand what you're saying. Okay, let's go on. But he who prophesies speaks three things: edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now let me stop and say this. Simple prophecy, biblical, this manifestation of prophecy is not predicting the future like they did in the Old Testament. That is what the prophet did. There is a difference in somebody who prophesies and somebody who is a prophet. Do you remember Sunday before last when Chris gave that word? It was a prophetic word where he says, you know, God says, I am the constant, you're the variable. And then he started speaking out of his heart just like it was God talking to us. Well, that was prophetic in nature, but it was not anything about predicting the future or anything like that. The Old Testament prophet would speak by word of wisdom or discerning of spirits, and he would say things about the future. This simple manifestation of prophecy is for three things: to edify, which means to what? Build up. Exhortation, that means to encourage. And comfort. It's not one of these things, woe unto you, saith the Lord, for I am very angry at you. That's not simple prophecy. Could a prophet do something like that? Set your house in order, for today you shall surely die. Some of the Old Testament prophets did that. But those are prophets who do that. There's a difference in somebody who prophesies and somebody who is a prophet. Now, maybe sometime we'll do a teaching on that, but right now we're talking about this simple manifestation of prophecy. It only does three things. It builds up, it encourages, and it brings comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. That's why it's selfish. No. Let me ask you, do we need to be built up? Do you need to be built up? Well, this says that when a man speaks in tongues, he edifies himself. This is why this manifestation of the Spirit is more of a private thing than it is a public thing. 99.9% of this goes on in the prayer closet. And this is something that I believe that every believer can do. If you choose to do that, I believe the Lord will let you do that. Do I have to? No, you don't have to do anything. But can you? I believe you can. If you'll be open to it, I need to be built up. And this is one way that you build yourself up. I build myself up by prayer in English. I build myself up by studying the Word. And I build myself up by praying in the Spirit. And I can do that anytime that I want to. But he who speaks in tongues, he edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now notice the contrast that he's doing here. Self and the church. He says, now we're going to pursue love. What good would it do if I just started speaking in tongues right now, unless I interpreted? What good would it do you? Would it do me any good? Yes. I could edify myself. But would it edify you? No. So therefore, that's why I say 99.9% of what we do in praying in the Spirit should be done privately under our breath. I do it a lot of times standing over here getting ready, but I don't do it where people can hear me. I'm edifying myself and building myself up, but I don't do it out loud, okay? Okay, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Look at verse 5. Now, this is one that's hard for some to swallow. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Well, now would you? I mean, if I said, I wish all of you would get saved, is that possible? If I say, I wish all of you spoke in tongues, is that possible? Yeah. Okay. It's not this big deal. Okay. But even more than that, because here again, what he's teaching about is edification of self and edification of the body. This is his whole subject in this chapter. He's saying, okay, I wish you would all speak in tongues, but I'd rather for you to prophesy. Okay? For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the whole church may receive what? Edification. This chapter is about what? Edification of the church or edification of self. If I pray in tongues, I edify myself. If I pray in tongues, interpret, I edify the church. Is it proper for that to happen? Yes, it is. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you by either revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? He says, if I'm going to come to you speaking in tongues, somehow I have to let you know what I'm saying. It's either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. Okay? Verse 7, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? I can play the keyboard. I can play any instrument on this stage. Did you know that? I can. I can play the far out of it. Now you won't know what it means. You wouldn't have a clue what I was playing. Why? Because I don't know how to play it. I don't know how to make a distinct sound. I can play I Drop My Dolly in the Dirt, but beyond that, I can't play anything, okay? So it says that when something is played, it needs to have a distinction to it so that it can be understood what's happening, okay? Verse 8. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? Now this is a neat picture here. You got these troops out on the hill, and they're waiting. Now in those days, they did not use voice commands to tell them what to do. They're waiting for the command. They're either going to hear a sound of the trumpet that's going to tell them to charge or to retreat. But if they get up there and they play a sound that they don't know what means, if they don't play charge or retreat, they're not going to know what to do. So they're waiting to hear that sound, but it's a distinct sound that they know what it is so that they'll know what to do. So what this is saying is that if we give out an indistinct sound, then we won't know what to do. If I could speak a foreign language right now, which I can't, I could pray in tongues, but I can't speak Spanish or French, parlez-vous français. You know, I could say that, but you know what that means. But I could speak, if I could speak a foreign language, I could get up here and do this whole thing in a foreign language, and you wouldn't know when to say amen. You wouldn't know if it was right or wrong. Why? Because you could not understand. Okay? So this is pretty simple stuff. So if something happens, it needs to be not an uncertain sound, but it needs to be a distinct sound. So, verse 9, so likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many different kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. You know, when he started 1 Corinthians 12, 13, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, what do we know about angels' languages? Well, that could be some of the things that we pray when we pray in the Spirit. I don't know. But he says there's all kinds of languages and they all have significance. Verse 11, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Now, I've heard people say that Paul is putting down the praying in tongues. That's not what he's saying. Because next verse he says, therefore, I heard it said one time, when you see the word therefore, look and see why it's therefore. It's a continuation of this thought. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this is talking about where? Where? In the church. In the public meeting. Is it necessary to do this in private? No. Let me ask you this question. This is a good thought for you Pentecostals. Can you interpret your private prayer language? Absolutely, you can. You can. I don't think you do it all the time, but it's possible that you can interpret your private prayer language. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And I've heard people say, well, see, there's no use for tongues because you can't understand. Now let's think about this. How are we made up? We're made up spirit, soul or mind, and body. Okay? How do we pray with our mind? We pray in the language that we understand, don't we? Father, in Jesus' name, I'm praying with my mind. But what about situations where I don't know how to pray about something? What if I don't have the insight or the understanding to pray about something? Can I pray with my spirit, okay, that prays beyond my intellect? See, I don't have to know and understand everything I pray about. And this is an opinion. I can't prove this. I believe that if I'm struggling with something, that I can pray in the Spirit, and at some point, my praying in the Spirit will bring enlightenment to my mind so that I can have the wisdom of God to understand what I need to do. I don't know if it's Psalms or Proverbs, it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Down on the inside of you, if the Lord is in there, the wisdom of God is in there, and when we pray in the Spirit, it says he who prays in spirit prays mysteries or secrets or wisdom. So what you're doing is out of your spirit, you're praying that thing out. And it can bring enlightenment to your mind as you do that. Even though at that point when you're praying it, your understanding is unfruitful, but eventually as you do that, it will bring enlightenment to your mind through either revelation or by interpretation. It can do that. Okay? What is the result then? I'm halfway there. 15. No, I'm not. There's 40. Oh, my. 15. What is the result then? I will pray with the Spirit. What does it mean to pray with the Spirit? To pray in other tongues. Okay? I will pray with the Spirit. Where'd I go? Okay. I will also pray with the understanding. He says, I'll pray with my spirit. I'll pray with my mind. I'll pray with my spirit. I'll pray with my mind. I'll sing with my spirit and I'll sing with my mind. You know, there is a song that you can sing in the spirit. You know, sometimes when you're by yourself and you're riding down the road and rises up in your heart, just sing to the Lord in the spirit. I have found that very, very refreshing and very, very edifying. And that's just a personal experience that I've enjoyed for a long, long time. I wonder what people think sometimes that would ride along beside me driving down the road if they could see. Sometimes there's tears running down my cheek. Sometimes my mouth moves a funny way. Or sometimes I'm preaching to myself and I'm thinking, I'll be listening to something. Some tape or something, I turn that off and I'm like, man, that's good. And you know, and I'll be preaching, going along there, and I just think, dear God, that guy's crazy. All right. He says, I'll pray with the spirit, I'll pray with the understanding, I'll sing with the spirit, I'll also sing with the understanding. We can go both ways. Okay? Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of the thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. We're back to that subject again. You can edify yourself, but if you're in a public place, if you do that, nobody's going to know what to do because it's an uncertain sound. You're being blessed by it, but he don't know what's happening, especially if he is uninformed, unbeliever, or whatever. I mean, what happens if, let's just say we all just started talking in tongues in here, and a total stranger walked off the street who didn't know God, what would he walk in here and think? He'd say, these people are absolutely nuts. That happened on the day of Pentecost. You know what some of those people said? These guys are drunk. They're drunk. They're out of their head. They're crazy. Okay? Okay. All right. Okay. Where'd I get to? Verse 18. Oh, 17. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. The Amplified says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all and all of you put together. Well, I heard some guy say, you know, Paul talked in tongues a little bit. He says, I talk in tongues more than all of you put together. Well, now if he out-talked that Corinthian bunch, he was doing a lot of it. But you know what? He says, yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. You know where he did most of his praying in the Spirit? He did it in his private prayer life. Okay? It was not a thing that he used as some kind of spiritual badge. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, howbeit in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. So one of the things it says, and I never quite understood this verse. It says that tongues is a sign for unbelievers. Well, on the day of Pentecost, the only thing that I can see here is that on the day of Pentecost, some of them that heard that thought, well, that's crazy. I'm not believing that. But it's a sign to them, okay, even though they don't believe, okay? Now, the Amplified says, for unbelievers on the verge of believing. I don't know. That verse has always been a little blind to me. Okay. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Just speaking in tongues openly like that, when people come in who are looking for the Lord, they're not turned on by that. They're turned off by that. Okay? That's why we say in the church, if you're going to give a message out in tongues, then you need to interpret. Okay? And it'll say something about this in a minute. Okay? They'll say you're out of your mind. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is judged by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. If we're edifying one another, if we're exhorting one another, and if we're building everyone up, the Holy Spirit is in manifestation there, and the secrets of their heart will be, God will deal with their hearts. Have you ever been in a service where you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit? I mean, God just did something miraculous in your life and you were just overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. Whether it is through prophetic preaching or prophetic utterance or whatever that is the result. And this is why this is a lot of times for believers as well as unbelievers. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, each has a teaching, each has a tongue, each has a revelation, each has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. This is why I say that as a Spirit-filled believer, you are capable of manifesting any of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You do not have a gift. You have the Holy Spirit, and He manifests Himself this way. Anybody who has received the Holy Spirit can bring forth a spiritual manifestation. It doesn't matter what it is. Any of those nine things that it talks about. I do not have a spiritual gift that is mine that I can turn on and turn off like I want to. Okay? Now, I do have a prayer language that I can use, but I don't have, but I don't just say, okay, I'm going to give a message in tongues. Listen, I can't do that. That's as the Spirit wills. Okay. Where do we get to? 27. You're keeping up. Good. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let it be by two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Okay? Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to one who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, let me say this. The Holy Spirit will not force you to speak in tongues. This is a thing that people have the idea that when the Holy Spirit comes that you lose control. You never lose control. If people lose control, there's a problem. There really is. I've heard people say, I just couldn't control myself. That's not the Holy Spirit. God never takes away your choice. You can always choose. The enemy tries to take your choice away from you. The Holy Spirit will never take your choice away from you. You yield or you don't yield, okay? The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 34, I'm skipping. I don't understand that verse. I do not understand that verse. I'm not getting into those next few verses. Verse 37. I'm going to get through with this. That's another sermon. Paul went on a rabbit trail right there. He didn't know what he was talking about. He did. I'm just not getting into that tonight. You women wouldn't listen anyway. Okay. Verse 37, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are in the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. He starts in the first verse, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. All through the verse, the theme is, let it be done decently in order. And then he says at the end, let all things be done decently and in order. So that's chapter 14. It is not against spiritual manifestations, but it is trying to regulate how the Holy Spirit works, because He always does things in order. Amen? All right, we got about 15 minutes before a fantastic Wednesday starts.